It's the Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. From dealing with state and federal officials to making sure development is equitable to improving our region's environmental health, what are the challenges? What are the opportunities that the Pittsburgh area, the region, face in 2019? We're going to discuss that and some of your questions with Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald, welcome to the Confluence.
Good to be with you, Kevin. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. You have often spoken in the past about having good working relationships with your counterparts in Harrisburg and Washington, legislative and executive as well. I want to ask you about your dealings with Washington and Harrisburg. So 2 years ago, when President Trump took office, you told me that you could work with him on some areas, especially something like infrastructure. That sounded promising to you. Give me an assessment now. Is there currently a relationship, a working relationship between this region, between you and the administration in Washington?
Well, I would say not so much with the administration, but we certainly have a very good and productive congressional delegation. Bipartisan in many ways, with Congressman Doyle, who's the dean of the delegation, work with new members, Connor Lamb and Guy Reschenthaler. I'm very optimistic that we're going to have some good productive relationships moving forward. Some of the things that we've seen out of the Trump administration, more recently the ones around criminal justice reform, are things I think it can be very positive for not just Allegheny County, but for the region. Obviously, they're in turmoil right now. Today's going to be the new Congress getting sworn in. There's a government shutdown, and I think that's probably taken all the oxygen out of the room right now. I don't think there's going to be a lot of things moving forward until they get that resolved. But we're hopeful with the new Congress coming in that there can be bipartisan work on things like transportation, for example. They haven't had a transportation bill for a number of years, and we're still hopeful that there could be infrastructure because the president has indicated that's something he wants to work on. So with Leader McConnell and Speaker Pelosi, I'm hoping they can all come to, a bipartisan way to move forward on infrastructure, because that is not a Democrat or Republican ideal. It's something that helps everybody.
So right after, you mentioned infrastructure, right after the November elections and when it became obvious that the Democrats were taking control of the U.S. House, infrastructure was brought up again as a bipartisan. Realistically, are you hopeful that something will get done in terms of just in infrastructure?
Well, you have to be hopeful. I mean, that's what optimism is in the new year, and I am optimistic just because the needs are so great. And if we're going to grow as an economy, and we're going to deal with things like climate change that we're going to be talking about a little bit later. We've got to have a smart infrastructure program around transportation, around utility lines, water lines, sewer lines, broadband, et cetera, that makes sense. So it has to make an economy work that works in a sustainable way. And move us in a direction that's going to combat climate change.
Right. You mentioned Congressman Mike Doyle, the dean of the delegation, if you will. Republicans still control the U.S. Senate. The fact that the Dems have taken over the House effective today, swearing in, will that change at all? Will that help? Or the fact that you still have a Republican president and Republican Senate?
Well, I guess we're going to find out. But one thing I think you'll see emerge out of the House is you're going to see legislation that will be at least brought to the floor for a vote. Under the past Congress, things that were what you would consider good ideas weren't even brought up for a vote. So, and the fact is, Congressman Doyle's going to have a gavel in his hand. He's going to be the chairman of the Energy and Technology Committee. That is powerful committee. And for Pittsburgh, it makes all the sense in the world, because as Pittsburgh's transitioning and has transitioned over the last couple of years to a technology and information economy, having our congressman to be the chair of that committee is going to be very helpful for us.
All right, let's move on to Harrisburg, relationship with state government, both the governor's office and the legislature. You were in Harrisburg earlier this week for the swearing in of the newly elected and the newly reelected members of the legislature. There were some gains by the Democrats in both bodies, but still the Republicans have a healthy majority in both the House and Senate. Do you expect any changes there? Assess the relationship between you, our region, and Harrisburg.
Well, I do expect some changes. As you indicated, the Democrats made some major gains both in the Senate and the House. The Republicans still control the majority in both of those chambers. But obviously, Governor Wolf won an overwhelming mandate in his reelection. And spending some time, the governor was there at the swearing in of the new House members and Speaker Terzai. We got to spend some time together. And I think he's very optimistic as well that things can get done in a better way. I think things like an extraction tax that the governor's been pushing.
He's been pushing, but really, is that gonna work?
Well, he's got new members. Mm-hmm. He's got new folks who were just elected, Democrats and Republicans. It wasn't just the 11 seats that they flipped in the House and the 5 seats that were flipped in the Senate. You've got new members with new ideas. So I think the governor does want to continue his push for education and particularly skill enhancement among all levels, all ages of workers. And that's something we really need in this region, as we've got more jobs now than we've ever had, but we don't necessarily have the skills, the people that have the skills to be able to reach those jobs. So I'm impressed that the governor has really placed a lot of emphasis on education and skills and continues to do so. In fact, I think one of the first things he's coming to Pittsburgh for next week is to show more enhancement of skills and more investment in education.
All right. Joining our conversation right now is the other top elected leader in this region, Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto. Mayor, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
We were talking about relations with other levels of government, mm-hmm. Harrisburg and Washington. From the city's perspective, what do you need? What is your top priority from Harrisburg?
Harrisburg deals more with the larger issues and with the county than with Washington. And that's why with the county executive, we sort of have a partnership that allows us to emphasize more of that interest in both capitals. So the city relies more upon the federal programs of community development block grants and transportation grants and other types of funding. The health and human services, the court systems, the other parts going through the county, through the state. But that being said, it's all a team. So it doesn't happen if we don't have cooperation and people working with us at the state level. So we're blessed right now. We have leadership that is coming out of Western Pennsylvania, both in the House and in the Senate, at least on the Democratic aisle and the Republican side on the House. We have a governor who has a strong interest in looking at major projects throughout Western Pennsylvania. And the thing that excites me is we now have a congressman who's going to be the chair of a committee that oversees science and technology.
Right. Mike Doyle.
At a time when the city's economy is shifting into exactly that, which is going to bring with it an amazing amount of leverage to be able to not only assist the companies that are here, but to bring other companies to Pittsburgh.
One more question about relations with the government, and I'd like both of your insights. New lieutenant governor, so we have the Governor Wolf for a second term, but a new lieutenant governor, John Fetterman, former Braddock mayor now. How might that help? Does it really make a difference, the number two man being from your area?
Well, I think it'll be very positive. We have a great relationship with Mayor Fetterman. I know Mayor Peduto and him worked on a lot of, even though they were mayors from different towns, they worked together on a lot of initiatives. I have a great relationship with Mayor Fetterman. We've done a lot of work in Braddock. And I think the fact that the mayor, former mayor, is going to be now the lieutenant governor, but he's going to still be based in Braddock. He's not moving to Harrisburg. He's not going to live in the lieutenant governor's mansion. He's going to stay. He's going to go there for session and obviously for the work that's done at the Capitol, but he's still going to maintain his base with his family in this region. So, as the mayor said, Governor Wolf's always had a very good, strong connection to Western Pennsylvania in Allegheny County, and I think that's only going to be strengthened by Mayor Fetterman.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I I consider John and his wife Giselle personal friends, and I'm happy for them, but I'm more happy for Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania. I I had the opportunity to work for a lieutenant governor in the 1990s, and I can tell you that a lieutenant governor, if they choose to do so, has the ability to sway both policy and programs. They definitely have the ability within the Senate in order to be able to have a voice on critical issues, especially those that many times become partisan. But they also have a great ability to create different types of programs, create pilots, create smaller types of initiatives, get them off the ground, and then start to see the state enact them at larger scale.
After the Tree of Life mass shooting, there were many calls for stricter gun control. Last month, three such bills were introduced in city council. Among other things, they would ban some accessories and the AR-15 assault-style rifle used in the synagogue shooting, also to allow judges to take guns away from people deemed a risk to themselves or others. Joe from Penn Hills left a voicemail with his question.
I regret that we have to be reactive to this situation. It would be nice if we could have been proactive, but I am very interested in the legislation, how it went, where it's going, and the future of it.
Bill Peduto, Rich yeah. Fitzgerald, what are your positions on local gun control legislation?
Along with seven members of City Council, I support this initiative. I believe that the time is now to be able to challenge in the courts, if necessary, the ability for local government to protect its people. We've already seen the ATF take action against bump stocks and making them illegal. That was part of our bill as well as using a body armor piercing
right.
bullets. The two other pieces. One is very similar to what protection from abuse. Victims have the ability to do, which is to go to court in order to be able to have guns removed. We want to be able to, if any family member has somebody in their family that's going to harm themselves or harm somebody else, to be able to go through due process and have weapons temporarily removed. And the third part of it is the banning of weapons that are simply made to kill as many people as possible in the shortest time period. Out of the city of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think the mayor deserves a lot of credit for taking the lead on this, as well as the members of City Council who stepped up. The time has come for common sense gun legislation, and I think these three areas that the mayor talked about, in fact, we talked earlier about, you know, President Trump and the Trump administration, are there things you can agree with? President came out against bump stocks, so he basically is in agreement with the legislation that the mayor's pushing. I think, you know, some of the folks are saying, well, you know, Harrisburg has override, you know, they've written this law that says no municipality can do what they want, can do this type of thing. I analogize to about 10 years ago. We put some legislation in that was controversial at the time, a smoking ban, and in county government. And people said, oh, you can't do that. That's state purview. The Indoor Air Act doesn't allow you to do that. Well, we pushed ahead. We moved forward. We ended up passing it. We were taken to court. Some of it was challenged. Some of it was actually thrown out. But at the end of the day, we created such a public discussion about what made sense that Harrisburg then moved. Their bill had been sitting in committee for years, actually, never moved. Senator Greenleaf had his legislation. And because of what we did here in western Pennsylvania, it put a statewide smoking ban in place. So I can see very similar things happening as cities like Scranton and Erie and Philadelphia around the state say, wait a minute, you know, this makes a lot of sense. Taking people who have mental health issues to take their guns away, to be able to go to court. There's nothing in this that restricts anybody's ability to protect themselves.
Yeah, but this one involves Second Amendment, which is, you know, is a hard-fought thing, and it would require state legislation to allow municipalities, to allow local governments to do that.
And Representative Frankel has that legislation pending right now.
Okay. We have a couple minutes before our break. Governor Wolf announced this week a commitment to additional criminal justice reform in this term, everything from passing legislation to reduce the cost of incarceration to strengthening county probation programs to changing sentencing guidelines. What can be done at the local level regarding criminal justice reform? We have about 90 seconds.
That really comes down to a conversation and cooperation with all levels of branches of government, the judicial branch, well, the district attorney, from our standpoint, the jail and the public defender can be part of that. We see so many people that are overcharged. No cash bond that's now being done in Philadelphia is something that we could maybe take a look at to reduce the county jail population. But I think Governor Wolf also sees the fact that at the state level, the state correction, the state prison system also needs some reform as well. So I applaud the governor. I think it's the right thing to do, and hopefully the legislature will move on this. And this is something that's both fiscally responsible for taxpayers. We spend an awful lot of money that really doesn't need to be spent, but we also have the social cost of people that we incarcerate.
Just one example that the governor brought up this past month is the legalization of recreational marijuana and the number of people who are in prison right now for an industry that states across this country are legalizing. As the Auditor General has shown, there's a incredible opportunity to tax it, to legalize it, put it into a statewide system that would then be able to be utilized for a lot of good purposes.
All right. We'll have more with Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald and Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto on issues, challenges, and opportunities facing the region in this new year when the confluence continues on 90.5 WESA.
I'm Megan Harris. The Confluence airs live from 9 to 10 a.m., but the news never stops. Find more stories, conversations, and more on our website at wesa.fm/confluence, on Twitter at WESAConfluence, and wherever you get your podcasts. The Confluence continues next on 90.5 WESA.
Fats Domino had a thing for beat-up old cars. Legend has it that a New Orleans club owner once lured him away from performing at a competing venue with an old Buick, and it worked. Well, as much as he loved those cars, they didn't always love him back. Fats Domino was inspired to write I'm Walking after one of those old cars broke down. He was walking down the street when a fan yelled, "Hey, look at Fats Domino, he's walking." However, the most interesting part of the song may just be the 33-second saxophone solo. Played by Herbert Hardesty, it takes up a quarter of the 2-minute song. Fats Domino recorded I'm Walking on this day in 1957. For 91.3 WYEP, I'm Joey Spehar.
It's the Confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. We're joined in studio by Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto and Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald. Talk about issues and opportunities for the region in 2019. Gentlemen, we often hear the term two Pittsburghs when it comes to growth and improvement, that the poor minorities often get left behind. We also hear the term equitable development. So what do each of you consider to be equitable development and how that in turn benefits all Pittsburghers?
Well, there's a narrative that's out there that market rate housing is in direct opposition to affordable housing. And we have to realize that that is a false narrative. If you look at the areas where you have affordability being completely left behind, areas like San Francisco, Oakland, Portland, Boston, New York, on the coast, what you see is there were initiatives that were made that limited the amount of market rate housing to be introduced, which in turn created a competition for every housing unit based upon the cost. So every unit that became available became a bidding war, and those with limited income were pushed out. What you need to do is you need to create a two-track system when it comes to housing for an urban area. One track has to be dedicated to creating affordability. There needs to be incentives that are created so that developers who would have the initiative to create market rate would be compensated in order to be able to create affordability. Nobody's going to build housing simply to lose money. And then at the second, you need to create a competitive market rate that has a certain amount of vacancy so that there's a competition on what the rent prices are based upon the market.
Okay. I'm going to get to Mr. Fitzgerald in just a second, but you brought up affordable housing. So let's hear a question from Holly in Oakland, who brings up that very issue of affordable housing.
I'd like to know as much as possible about affordable housing, how the city and the county plan to work together to solve the desperate need for affordable housing in Pittsburgh and Allegheny County. I know about the Affordable Housing Trust Fund and so on, but I'd like to know how it's going to be implemented, what the county's doing about it, and how they can do a real effort to solve this problem in the coming year.
All right, Mr. Fitzgerald.
It's a multi-pronged effort, yeah, because one of the things that the mayor and I both, one of the tools we have is a tax credit program working with the state of Pennsylvania. And then on the local level, we have some tools like LRTA and TIF that are able to encourage developers to work on development. So one of the policies both the mayor and I have put in over the last couple of years is when developers come to us and want to build so many units, 100 units, whatever it might be, we're making them put a percentage of that to be affordable, a mixed use, so that there's some market rate, as the mayor indicated. That's what developers want to be able to, you know, they're profitable. But if they're going to get some public money and public support for some of these programs, that there's got to be an affordability mix, whether it's 10%, 20%, and those things, a little bit on a sliding scale, depending on how much incentives are put on the table. So there are tools, and we're using those tools in neighborhoods that are now becoming more market-driven, like East Liberty, the Strip District, and some of the, you know, outside the city, places like Millville and Homestead that are starting to take off, and Carnegie again. So you need to have that mix of affordability and market rate, I think, to have healthy communities.
Do you have goals, specific, concrete goals, how many affordable housing units we want to generate in 2019 or over a certain period of time?
It's difficult in order to put together specific goals without knowing what the specific programs are in order to create the housing. In other words, you don't have a group of developers knocking down the doors and trying to build affordable housing without a tax credit available, without a LRTA available, without a TIF available. If they're given the option to create market rate or to create affordable, they're going to create market rate because, number one, that's what the banks are going to provide the loans for. Number two, that's where their profit margins will be had. So when we partner it based upon the programs that we create and the programs that are out there. One of the things that we're looking to do is in areas where the market is very hot, and realize Pittsburgh is not a very hot market. Overall, we're moderate, but we have areas that are very cold where there has not been any new housing built since the 1950s. Putting in additional requirements in areas in neighborhoods that are looking for any new development would only further drive that development down and keep those areas from being able to become reestablished. So in areas like Lawrenceville and East Liberty, we're working directly with the community in order to look at opportunities to have affordability as a requirement of new development.
Okay. Shortly before Christmas, Valerie McDonald Roberts announced she was leaving her post as the city's chief urban affairs officer. Mayor, the cabinet you created in 2013 was hailed for its diversity, but both its African American members have since left. So has its Asian American member. Is your leadership team less diverse than it used to be? And what are you doing to get feedback and input from the community regarding that?
No, actually, I think we have more diversity now.
How so?
With our directors, our assistant directors, our chiefs, our deputy chiefs, our assistant chiefs. I mean, even our boards, authorities, and commissions, I believe right now, all but one member of our planning commission is a woman, which has never happened in the city's history before. We have three members of the URA out of five who are African American. We have the most diverse administration that the city has ever had, and we have more diversity than when we began in 2014.
All right. So you took steps early on in your tenure to have a Rooney Rule in place.
Yep.
Did you use that in recent hires, let's say, for city solicitor and
yes.
Chief of staff?
Chief of staff, no, because we made the offer to one person, and that was the person that accepted it, to Dan Gilman.
Who was your chief of staff when you were on council?
Correct.
Okay.
With every other position that we have hired since that has been at the level of director or assistant director. We have used the Rooney Rule and in many of the cases have decided that the best candidate was the minority candidate.
All right. Mr. Fitzgerald, give us an understanding. What sort of policy do you have when considering candidates for directors, managers of county departments? What's your approach?
Well, one of the first things I did was institute the Rooney Rule for the county hires. And I'm proud to say that actually 25% of the hires I have made, we have made in the county government since I've been in office over 7 years, have been African American in a population that's about 13% countywide. 28% of my directors and deputy directors have been people of color, African Americans and Asian Americans. So we're very proud of the work that we've done. And some of the folks that have been key people in my administration have moved on. One of my top people was an executive assistant named Austin Davis. Austin did a lot of great work for me and last year was elected to the legislature, to the General Assembly, the first African-American who was elected outside of the city of Pittsburgh in Allegheny County.
He was sworn into a full 2-year
term. He was sworn into another,
week?
Yes, he was just sworn in 2 days ago for a full 2-year term. So we try to find the best and the brightest, that's the most talented people, to fill any positions. And hopefully that there's diversity, and we want to take a look at whether they be women, whether they be minorities, whether they be people of color to fill those positions. And we've been pretty successful. And if you look at what's happened at the Port Authority or at the Airport Authority or at the Health Department, and some of our major agencies are being run by women. Some of our joint agencies that the mayor and I, Alcasian and the Sports and Exhibition Authority, are run by an African-American woman and a white woman. So, I mean, we've got diversity at the really top levels of people that are making the big decisions for a lot of us in this county.
One more quick question to the mayor before we take our break. Mayor, we recently welcomed Valerie McDonald Roberts on the program. She told us one thing that she liked early on was sort of the horizontal nature of your cabinet, if you will, directors reporting to you. Has that changed at all as members? I mean, you expect members, this happens at all levels, members of cabinets, if you would, move on, take other positions.
Yeah,
has that changed at all as you replace
them? It's constantly changing. So the danger of hiring talent is that talent will be recruited. And so many of the people that have left the administration, every one of them except Val, I think, who's looking toward more retirement,
right,
but not permanent retirement, but just taking a break, have accepted positions that pay well above my salary.
Right. But is it now more of a vertical structure than a horizontal?
It is, but it's on a temporary basis. So as we look to replace Val, we're looking at what the team needs are within the fifth floor and with the Bureau of Neighborhood Empowerment. We're looking for a new CFO right now. We have a COO with Guy Costa, but we want to create a new CAO, a Chief Accounting Officer, Administrative Officer,
right,
as well. And when we look at who will be filling those positions, it will become more horizontal once again as we break the silo system of simply having directors in charge of departments, but having a C-level staff that oversees several departments.
More with Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald and Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto when the confluence continues on 90.5 WESA. It's The Confluence. I'm Kevin Gavin. We're joined in studio by Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto and Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald. A question was sent to us by Christine in Pittsburgh. She alludes to your trip, Mayor, to Poland, part of the climate talks last month. How do both of you sort of generate your idea, or sort of, not justify, but sort of mesh your ideas of wanting to improve this region's climate, but with the ethane cracker plant? Although it's outside your purview, it's in Beaver County, but it still will affect this region.
Well, I'll just say from a personal basis, I mean, it's not something that I view as something that I support. But I also have an iPhone. I'm talking into a plastic mic. I got plastic on my ears. I'm sitting in a plastic chair. And as long as we're using these products, there are going to be these plants that are being constructed. We have a very specific environmental agenda for the city of Pittsburgh. In order to accomplish it, I need the support of legislators outside of the city of Pittsburgh. I need the support of our large institutions, our universities, our hospitals. I need the support of the county executive and the governor. And where I can put my best attention to being able to deal with the environmental impact of our city, I have to choose on who I am alienating in order to be able to do it. So if I spend my time just protesting a plant that I have absolutely no authority over, which all of my protest will end up in accomplishing nothing, then I will do absolutely nothing to lower the carbon footprint of the city of Pittsburgh.
Mr. Fitzgerald.
I think when you take a look at what plastics, and we talk a lot of plastics, when you think about how that has helped the energy around cars, for example, how we've gotten away from the heavier metals that are used, like steel, the mileage increases that are happening around vehicles, and in large part because they've been replaced by other type of materials like plastics. So that helps improve the carbon footprint that we're going on. The cracker plant also is the largest construction project in America right now. If you go out there and you see thousands and thousands of people working, that also provides middle-class jobs and puts a lot of our folks to work, some who live in Beaver County, some who live in Allegheny County, some who live in the city of Pittsburgh. So the important thing is that we do it in an environmentally sustainable way. And, yes, we have a lot of initiatives in the county as well, as far as reducing our carbon footprint, putting in place policies with economic development initiatives that will put sustainable and renewable energy as part of what's being done. We're looking at hydroelectric. I love what the University of Pittsburgh just recently did, buying a big percentage of their energy to run the campus on a hydroelectric of the Highland Park Dam. These are the kind of initiatives all of us working together, whether in government or in the private sector, can help to accomplish. And we also need to support what this governor is doing with methane leaks and detection, as well as carbon footprint as well. So I think there's a lot of things that we can do without necessarily just focusing on one area and think that that's going to solve all problems.
All right. In our remaining time, I want to get to as many questions from listeners as possible who emailed their questions. So let us go to a question from Edmund from Mount Lebanon. Now, you both told me that we were very fortunate when the Norfolk Southern train derailed near Station Square in August. That train was carrying non-toxic household products. Edmund wants to know, Mr. Mayor, what can be done to reroute trains carrying hazardous materials?
Very little on a local level. It is completely a federal policy going back to the 19th century. There's a reason why people say, they use the expression, I was railroaded.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, it's one of the things, the mayor's right, the power of the railroads at the federal level is like all-encompassing. They can go where they want. They can pretty much do whatever they want. We talk about the environmental controls. They're allowed to pollute as much as they want at a train station. The Allegheny County Health Department has no jurisdiction to go in and cite them or fine them that they could for any other private industry.
Very quickly, can you control speeds of the trains as they come through the area?
We can try to lobby our federal officials. And I know Senator Casey has been a strong advocate for not only controlling the speed of the trains, but also talking about what is on those trains, some of those hazardous materials that you were talking about.
All right, this question from another listener directed to you, Mr. Fitzgerald, Audrey in Pittsburgh. As you might know, the Pennsylvania Department of State this week certified a third voting system with paper records. Counties have until the end of this year to choose a new system with paper trails to be in use no later than the 2020 primary. The question from Audrey for you, Mr. Fitzgerald, is there enough money in the current budget to purchase the machines?
The county budget, we don't have any money in the budget, but we'll certainly take a look at it. The state is talking about putting money in the budget for the upcoming year. I know that the Department of State and Governor Wolf and his team are working with them, and we're willing to work with some of the other issues. What I will say is, in all the years we've had the voting machines, we haven't had an issue with as far as hacking, because they're not connected to the internet. They're not connected to anything.
Well, they're not connected, but can't those voting discs, if you would, that are implemented, they're put into the voting machines. Can't they be hacked when they are programmed, though?
If we got 4,000 machines, somebody would have to go in and uproot 4,000 machines. They're under lock and key in a warehouse with cameras looking. You'd need to go in there with a pair of pliers and a hammer and a screwdriver.
Yeah, but to clarify, can't they do the program that is put into those devices that are inserted to the machine?
My understanding from our election department is that would be extremely difficult to do, and it has not been done.
Okay, so on to another question. And Mr. Mayor, One Pittsburgh, we thought we were going to hear details this fall. What's happened? Are there stumbling blocks? What's going on?
No, not really. I mean, the fact is when we were putting the plan together, the idea of Amazon being a part of that was, well, it would have made the plan very different. The idea that we would have been able to take local funds that would have gone to municipal government and then putting it into transportation, workforce development, and a few of the other initiatives paralleled with One PGH. So we had to wait until we heard back from Amazon what their final decision was, whether they were going to choose Pittsburgh or not. Since that time, we've had numerous discussions. I think I have another meeting next week with many of the key players. It requires creating a new 501c3. There have been some hang-ups as that has been occurring, but overall the initiative is basically formed around 10 specific areas and 46 specific projects.
Okay, another quick one for Mr. Fitzgerald. Alexander in Upper St. Clair, any plans to improve the commute times to and from the South Hills and other parts into the city? He says the T is slow, buses crawl. He says the BRT is a great first step. Is there anything else in the works?
I think Catherine Kellerman, the new director of the Port Authority, is working on a lot of different initiatives. One of the things is bus stops. Our buses stop much too frequently, like seems like every corner, and it does delay the commute time, not just for the bus itself, but the people that get stuck behind those buses. So she's looking at that, and I think with some of the new planning folks she's bringing in, I think you're going to see some improvements as time goes on.
All right. So for both of you now, what is one thing that you can do that you will accomplish in 2019? And I don't mean announcing a plan or a proposal or initiative, but an actual action to better our city, our county, our region.
I think what I'm really going to accomplish this year is to make sure that there are more people who are included in the economic growth that's going on. So I think what we have going on at community college and some other places to enhance people's skills is going to get more people to the table and give more people economic opportunities than we've had in the past.
We're going to conduct and finalize a study on restructuring the URA. It has not been restructured since it was created by David Lawrence, but the needs of our city are very much different than they were in the 1950s and the 1960s. And restructuring it means understanding what those priorities will be for the next 10 years, then putting the resources, the people, and the funding behind getting those done.
Very briefly, a sentence or so, giving the key to the city to Tom Murphy 25 years ago today, the first of his three terms.
Yep.
Didn't have a spotless record, but why do you want to honor him?
I think that he's doing his victory tour right now. He's being asked to speak around the world about Pittsburgh's transformation, and he certainly was a person who was there during those difficult times making very difficult decisions. And he and I have had this conversation many times. We basically have been the mayors of two very different cities with very much different challenges. Today recognizes that 25 years ago he began on that mission.
All right. That's Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto, Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us today.
Good to be with you, and Happy New Year to everybody.
And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together. Today's program was engineered and produced by Kylie Kaczynski. Production assistance from Meg Fair. The editor and producer of The Confluence is Megan Harris. I'm Kevin Gavin. Until next time, hope you have a good day of good news.